CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It is time, holiday time, for donations and subscriptions to Bob's site. You can subscribe, my recommendation, through PayPal or Patreon. You can also subscribe directly using a Visa card. Why I recommend subscriptions is Bob is like a living magazine. Our conversations are about a wide range of space engineering and space exploration. Nature and Science magazines, my subscription to read material I don't understand most of the time, but it's great fun. Great fun. And Bob's conversation with me, I sometimes follow where we're going with space engineering. Space discovery, however, is beyond me. But Science and Nature, $175 for the year. Bob is very good deal for $25 to sustain our long, long conversation approaching two decades. And we turn now to Bob's new venture at History Unplugged. It's a new podcast. He and his colleagues appear serially talking about discovery, where we're going next. It's available starting now at History Unplugged. It's on Apple Podcasts. Bob, a very good evening to you. The conversation turns on discovery, where we're going next in space. I'm presuming that's what you and History Unplugged debated. Good evening to you, Bob.
Yes, John. I mean, basically, it's looking at the past, the first age of discovery after Columbus discovered the New World, and how that changed Europe, and uses that knowledge, tells that story to inform what is going to happen possibly in the future when we start exploring and settling the solar system.
When we get a Mars colony and go spelunking, or, excuse me, cave crawling.
Yeah.
All right. We go now first to space engineering. Falcon Heavy gets another contract. How long has it been, Bob, since Falcon Heavy lifted?
Falcon Heavy has not flown since 2019, and it hasn't flown for mostly because the payload contracts it had, the payloads were not ready, and so they had to keep redoing delaying the launch to get the payloads ready. Most of its previously four contracts, two were for the Space Force, one was for NASA to launch the Psyche payload probe to the asteroid Psyche, and the fourth was for a commercial communication satellite. Well, the Space Force this week announced it's picked Falcon Heavy for a third launch, and all three Space Force launches are going to happen next year, in addition to the commercial payload and the Psyche planetary probe, which means next year Falcon Heavy is going to launch five times, even though it's been a gap of almost two years since launch last. It's going to do it five times next year if everything goes right. And next year is really looking like it's going to be a major record-setting year for rocketry, John, based on everything that seems to be the pump is being primed for many different things. I expect that we could see as many as 130 to 150 launches next year, and that would be the most launches ever in a single year, and a large percentage of them, maybe more than a majority, will be for private commercial companies, for private commercial payloads. It'll be quite spectacular.
Private commercial companies. That describes Amazon, at one point founded by Jeff Bezos, who is now in charge of Blue Origin. However, this is a puzzle, Bob. Amazon is picking a new company called ABL to launch prototype Kuiper satellites. Why did Amazon go to ABL, a newbie, and not go to Blue Origin, that is controlled by the founder of Amazon?
That's a very good question, John. It's the question I raise. In addition, you should be aware that Amazon already has a launch contract to put up nine different launches of Kuiper satellites using ULA's Atlas V rocket. So Amazon, founded by Bezos, who's still probably the largest stockholder, is not choosing Bezos's rocket company, Blue Origin, for its launches. Now, ABL is a rocket startup, small sat rocket startup. They have not launched yet. They've raised close to $400 million in investment capital. And they're really, gearing up for that first launch in mid-December. But a first launch to be successful is very rare. And yet, Amazon has picked them to launch two prototype Kuiper satellites next year. And the question, of course, as you ask, is why pick them? Why not Blue Origin, which also has not launched, but at least it's a Bezos company? To my mind, what this is telling us is that the BE-4 engine that both ULA's Vulcan rocket and Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket depend on is not going to be ready in 22. They're saying it will be ready at the end of this year. It's already delayed like 2.5 years, but it looks like it's not even going to be ready next year. And so Amazon, even though Bezos is a major stockholder and created the company, Amazon is not picking Blue Origin for its prototype launches. It's picking a startup, a completely different company. And that's really interesting, John.
ABL is also leasing space at the Port of Los Angeles. Is this space that used to be Elon Musk's? I remember.
No, this was actually space at the port that the company Sea Launch used to use. That was the company that launched off of a floating platform. That floating platform is now in Russia, controlled by the Russian government, and nothing's happened with it as far as we can tell. So the space was empty. And so ABL, which has gotten all this recent investment capital, has leased the space, and this is going to be for the integration and processing of payloads for its rockets. And, of course, some of those payloads are going to be Amazon payloads, it appears, John.
We move to the UN committee on looking at military space activities. These are rules that will be challenged for some time, including right now. Bob, anti-satellites are much the topic of conversation when it comes to China. What can the UN do about it?
Well, what's going on here is a political move between the United States, UK, and the Western powers and the authoritarian governments, Russia and China, on what to do about the weaponization of space. And the authoritarian governments want to create a treaty that will outlaw weapons in space in such a way that they basically will be the only ones to have weapons in space. That's the game they play. And the UK has submitted a proposal to have working groups of many nations to start discussing the issue of militarization of space, but not to lay out any specific bans or plans right now. This is not to say that we mustn't work out rules for military space activities, but the proposal the UK has put forth and has been accepted by United Nations Committee of more than 170 nations. It's looking more at the broader issues here and trying to set up rules that won't restrict freedom and private enterprise. I personally am very pessimistic. Let anything get close to the UN and its committees, and you're almost guaranteed that in the end, even if everything appears okay, there's going to be clauses in there that are going to have bad consequences down the road for private individual sovereignty and freedom of future colonists in space, John. I'm worried about this.
One more space engineering story, Bob. This is Bereshit 2. What is that?
Bereshit was the Israeli lunar lander that tried to land on the moon in 2019. It was built by a nonprofit called SpaceIL. And it almost landed, but just before landing, there was a failure and it crashed. And so they decided to do Bereshit 2, and Bereshit 2, they announced in December that Bereshit 2 was not going to be a single lander, it was going to be an orbiter with two landers. Well, now it's become clear that they've raised enough money to build this, and they're now proceeding, and they've issued a contract to an Israeli company, Israel Aerospace Industries, to build the Bereshit 2 orbiter and two landers. What I found interesting about this is the timing of this announcement follows very closely with the international agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates to work together on things. And back when they announced the actual Bereshit design, they said they were to places like UAE to see if they get funding from them. So I think they have gotten funding from the UAE as part of their partnership agreement, and this is going to be a joint Israeli United Arab Emirates mission, John. Quite exciting.
China doesn't have private companies, but it has private companies that look like they're private, but are in fact run by the state. Now, what is this to do with a reusable rocket?
Well, some of the pseudo-private companies, you know, they get private investment capital within China, and they're structured like a private company, but we all know they're completely supervised, especially because rockets are missiles. They're completely supervised by the Chinese government. And so a pseudo-private rocket company, Rocket Pi, has signed a deal with another pseudo-private Chinese company to build the engines for Rocket Pi's planned proposed reusable rocket. They're basically trying to develop reusable rockets like SpaceX has, and they're in competition with the Chinese government programs to build such things. And so this is just how China's doing it. It's China's taking advantage of the idea of competition and private enterprise to try to stimulate innovation within its nation. And that's actually smart. But we almost recognize these are not really private companies, though they look like them in all ways. They are run and supervised by the Chinese government.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black is the website. Your subscriptions and donations are most appreciated to sustain Bob through the holidays. When we come back, we're going exploring, space exploring, but we're first going to worry about an old friend, Hubble. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.